My name is Kayla Eichholz, and I'm with the WKMS Youth Radio Project, and today we are speaking to David Firth, and most people know him as the guy that made Salad Fingers, but there are many other things that he's done as well. So you're in Europe right now. How's your trip been?
Oh, my trip's been great. I've been in a different city just about every day. Now I'm in Switzerland, and I'm heading to Croatia. It's very much different from my usual life, so I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, that's good.
And I'm writing as well along the way.
Oh, what sort of things are you writing?
I've written maybe 3 full cartoons so far. 1 sequel and 2 parts to a new series, which might have 3 parts. But I'm really happy with what I've done.
Do you think we could expect to see them anytime soon?
I'll try and do at least one of them quickly, because I don't know what's happened with my other project that's on hold at the moment.
Do you ever get tired of people asking you about, like, hey, when's the Metal Man coming out?
Yeah, because I haven't really done anything on that for ages. And when I spoke to Vice, the magazine in England, I gave them a trailer, which I thought they just wanted to take some screenshots from, but they posted the trailer on their website, which I'd never even posted myself. And then everyone kind of started asking about it again, as if it was going to come soon, because on the trailer it said coming soon. I made it in 2010, that trailer, and I haven't really done anything on the project since. I've been doing all kinds of different projects, so that's not moving, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. Kind of getting sick of people asking about that one. I should have never announced it in the first place.
What exactly is The Metal Man?
It's a full-length animated film which I wrote over the last few years. And I'm still writing it, really. I'm still changing it all the time, so it's not even finished writing. But I started drawing it and doing a little bit of, designing it. But as far as the animation, it hasn't even started, so people really shouldn't expect it anytime soon. It's a very dark, bizarre story, and that's all I can say, really.
So how do you get your ideas out on paper? What's of your process?
I sit usually in a place where I can see people. Well, sometimes they come from dreams, but a lot of the times I sit in a place where I can see people and I just kind of watch them and I start writing things and maybe I start guessing what they might be up to. Or it's good to sit in a cafe looking out of the window into a city because there's loads of stuff's going on. So I can I can look at people and say, oh, I wonder what they're doing. I start writing something, maybe I'll just guess what they'll do. Or maybe I'll just see something completely strange that inspires me. But yeah, I usually just start writing little notes yesterday I was watching a lot of policemen arresting cyclists or fining cyclists. And I just started writing something about policemen taking people off and where they were going to take them and then what happened. And so it just kind of starts with a small kind of seed of an idea and then it just kind of goes all over the place.
So what sort of environment do you make for yourself while you're animating or drawing things for your cartoons? Or
usually a quiet room, but I could probably work in a room with 4 or 5 people if they were animating or doing something, but if they were talking to me then I'd get put off. But sometimes I can have the TV on if I'm working, and sometimes I can have music on, but I think the best work comes from silence in a probably usually very late at night.
What sort of music do you think that you listen to whenever you're writing things?
Well, if I'm writing, I never listen to music with lyrics because then they put me off and I start losing where I am, unless they're very, very quiet lyrics or very hard to understand ones. Usually I listen to ambient music if I'm writing something kind of cinematic or dark. Sometimes it really helps me picture a scene if I can hear the sort of music that I want to use as I'm writing it.
Yeah, you use a lot of Aphex Twin and Brian Eno. What really got you into ambient music?
I guess it might have just been from when I was first making films. I found a sort of music called Dark Ambient, and this was on Audio Galaxy, which was a file-sharing website years ago, and I was making a horror film for art college, so I needed some Dark Ambient music. And I didn't even know it existed until I found it and I started just downloading loads of it. And then I guess I just started stumbling across more and more sort of lighter ambient, more pleasant, dreamy stuff. And then my friend Jimmy got me into Aphex Twin and Bob Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So then I just explored from there.
So, what were you like whenever you were younger and just figuring out things about, making films and art?
I don't know. I guess I was just like I am now, but I didn't ever think people were going to watch them. I wanted people to, but I didn't ever expect people to watch them. So I just made them because I enjoyed making them. And it was always fun just trying to see what I could do. And then I don't know the exact point, but I suddenly got interested in trying to scare people in a different way rather than making them jump. I wanted to kind of disturb people. And then I had this full emphasis on making something that's disturbing. And now I find I want to make something that's funny and interesting, but also maybe disturbing. But at the moment, I don't feel like I want to just creep people out, because I think that's it become predictable if I keep, you know, doing the same sort of theme. So I like to branch out into different areas. But I guess I get inspired when I see something that makes me feel different. It doesn't make me think it's comedy. It doesn't make me think it's satire or horror. It's just something different. So I guess I'm always looking for something different, a new mood.
What do you think about this whole idea of, like, a fandom that you sort of created with Salad Fingers?
It's kind of fun, you know, that people still care about that. It's not my full focus. I do like the character and I do like the series, but I don't want to just keep making them and, you know, going around in circles. So I wait until I've got an idea that's different for Salad Fingers before I do another. And also, those things take so long to do. Like, for some reason, I need to make each one look better than the last. I don't know why. I just feel a failure if I don't. So, I mean, I like the fact that that's the best way of getting people into my work, is to, you know, through Salad Fingers. But I'd prefer it if they were more interested in some of my other works.
What's some of your favourite works that you've done?
I like the Sock series, I think, and Spoils the Toast Boy. Because yeah. I feel they've got more potential to go somewhere.
Do you plan on making any new, like, Spoilsbury Toast Boys or Sock cartoons?
Well, I mentioned my pilot, TV pilot, and I'd incorporated Spoilsbury Toast Boy into the world, which is it's about the end of the world. And in this world, Spoilsbury Toast Boy is a missing child. And then he's in, obviously, this beetle sort of dimension. But in the real world, he's just missing, and then there's an inquest and, you know, accusations about where he's gone. So that's how I incorporated him into the new thing. I've written loads of it, but it's just, if it gets funded, someone needs to fund it. Someone needs to help me animate it, because the episodes are very long. It'd take me years to do. But yeah, that's... and also, I have written future episodes that continue on from the series, Spoilsbury Toast Boy. So whatever happens, I think there will be more.
What are some of your influences?
For animation, you could say the look of my animation is a bit like Mike Judge, his animation, which is he did Beavis and Butthead and King.
Oh.
But the themes aren't like his. The South Park was one of the biggest influences for me, because it made the animation very simple, and you could tell a lot, you could do a lot, and you could make it very shocking with such simple animation. So that was an influence. And then there's like non-animated influences, which Chris Morris. He did the Brass Eye and the Day to Day series. I think some of the cleverest comedy I've ever seen. And David Lynch films, of course. He's a big influence. And then just everything else, just, you know, bits of everything. It's not like just one thing.
So what's some of your favourite sort of like art just to look at?
I don't know. I like what's the guy called? It does the very crazy staircases and
Escher.
I like his. Yeah, and I guess Dali. Maybe, but I don't know, because my parents are both art teachers. I grew up with all, you know, seeing all this art, and I guess I kind of got tired of it. And for some reason, didn't find anything interesting unless it moved. So, I mean, I can appreciate a lot of art. I like David Shrigley as well, actually. He's a very strange artist. His stuff's really funny.
I
guess
him.
Maybe... for some reason, a lot of art, maybe it needs something else to provoke me. It doesn't shock me, or doesn't make me laugh, doesn't stimulate me in any way. And that's why I need something to move, or at least to have a soundtrack to it.
So you watch a lot of, like, cartoons and animated stuff?
Yeah, I guess. I like, there's a guy called Jem Spankmeyer. He did a lot of clay animation, very bizarre stuff, and that's the sort of stuff that gets played in an art gallery. I don't know why some stuff does and some stuff doesn't, but his stuff gets played in an art gallery, and that's where I saw it. And so when I went to an art, the Tate Gallery in London, I found his work on a screen. I wasn't interested in any of the stuff on the wall, but I was just watching his stuff on a screen. So definitely things that move interest me more than static art.
What about, like, moving sculptures? Do you think those are interesting?
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't seen many moving sculptures, but I'd be interested in those, more so than still ones. But I like sculptures that I can climb on as well. I like really big sculptures that I can climb on, and the artist doesn't mind.
What makes you happier, though, like, while you're making it? Like, actually drawing something or making a cartoon?
I think writing it, doing the voices, when it all comes together, I get happy. But the bit in between is very, very long, and that's the bit that, you know, I need to prepare myself for, because that, if that bit doesn't go smoothly, then the whole cartoon will just come to a halt. So it's the it's when it all comes together and I add the music and I add elements that aren't written, as in I work out sort of spaces in the sound where and how long to leave certain shots for and where to pan and what, you know, things like that. The things that aren't, that I can't write until I see.
Like technical animation things. How long does it take you to make a cartoon?
Well, the first Salad Fingers took me one day and one night. And the last Salad Fingers took me about 3 months. Maybe more than that. I was working around the clock on some days as well. But they never seem like they're going to take that long. They just end up taking longer than I expect them to.
Can you describe the process of animating something?
Yeah. Well, I stare at a blank screen for a few days. And then kind of look at the writing again, and then I start scribbling something that just kind of looks like a storyboard, but I'll scribble it straight onto my computer using the graphics tablet, and then I guess I'll leave that for a few weeks, and then I'll get bored of it, and then I'll start a new project, and I'll do the same, and then I'll go back to the other project, maybe draw a character, maybe I'll not like the character, so I'll get rid of that project for maybe a month or so. Then I'll come back to it. And this isn't being included in the time it takes to make the cartoon. This is all just sort of preparation, mental preparation. And then I kind of do something quickly and decide I'm going to make a quick cartoon. And then it starts taking longer, and then I start putting more detail in. And before I know it, I've been sat in front of my computer for 3 months making something. And then I just decide I'm done with it, so I put it out. So that's generally most of the process.
So you have a lot of unfinished, unreleased cartoons?
Yeah. Unstarted, even. Mainly just written. One day, I'm going to find someone that can animate for me, and then I can just write them and do the voices, and then I can do loads, and I'll be able to put as many out as I used to.
How many do you have total, just, like, around the internet?
I did a video called 114 Cartoons in what, 12 Minutes or something. Yeah, but then they weren't all finished. So maybe I'd say 100 or maybe 97 or something like that. Some of them are very throwaway and some of them are very silly. So maybe 50 good ones or 50 ones that I would want people to watch.
Do you think you could talk a little bit about, like, traveling stories or anything interesting that's happened while you're, like, in Europe?
There's nothing really too exciting happened. It's mainly things that I've seen that were very impressive to see, but then when you explain it to someone, it doesn't sound as impressive because it sounds like, you know, you just have to imagine what it's like and it's not as exciting as being there. But I've met a lot of crazy people and been on a lot of trains and seen a lot of places. So I don't know, maybe I'll write something up at some point, you know, things that have happened, but it's more like a lot of small things rather than any big crazy stories. But I do plan to hitchhike at some point, so maybe that'll bring some crazy stories out.
You went to America a few years ago.
Yeah.
What are some things you...
I hitchhiked there.
What are some things that you liked and you didn't like about America?
I didn't like the fact that I put on weight when I was there. Every meal I ate was so fattening and heavy, and I don't know what I was... Even the salads were unhealthy. But it tasted good. It all tasted good. It's just I got fat when I went there. It was all tasty. So I didn't like that. But I did like the weather, the friendliness and generosity of people. I definitely liked the coast, the west coast, and all the nature. There seemed to be a lot more space there. In England, everything's crammed together. So it seems a lot more space in America. I liked the hostels, the fact that I could just kind of get on the road and go to a different part of the country, and it was, you know, different weather and different surroundings, whereas England generally all the same weather. So I liked a lot of things about it.
Do you think that the weather in England influences how you make the weather in your cartoons? Is that why there's not very many sunny things?
Yeah, there's not many cartoons I've made with a sunny blue sky, because it's just never like that in England. So it'd be kind of lying if I was there. You know, you make stuff about, I guess I write about what I know, and I make stuff about what I know, and I don't know good weather so well, and I don't think it looks very good in the animation either. It makes you look too happy. So even a clear sky on my cartoons is usually slightly grey.
Do you get really tired of England and how it's really grey all the time?
Yeah, that's generally the biggest... The worst thing, it's not the fact that it's grey, it's the fact that it's raining as well, and it's cold. It's hard to think when it's summer, because it's really nice weather here. But I think, I don't think it's always nice weather in Switzerland, but it's really nice weather right now, and it's hard to imagine it being too cold to be outside. But it is, for most of the year, it's uncomfortable to be outside, unless you've got coat, scarf, gloves. You know, I like to just be able to sit outside and write. It's hard to, you know, write when I'm shivering or I've got gloves on. Or, you know, I just like the fact that in other countries you can relax outside. In England you can do that maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the year. And everybody does it. So it's just all the parks are crowded, all the beaches are crowded, because we don't get enough good weather to do it regularly. See, in America when it's sunny, everyone's just like, oh, who cares? It's sunny every day. So, in California anyway.
Are you like, do you want to move from England? You don't like it so much? Or?
No, I think the culture and the general sense of humour is good in England. I don't think I'd be able to do what I do. I don't think I'd be able to get any companies to work with me on my project in other countries. I don't think people are as open to that sort of humour. Although in America does have much more budget for animation. We don't really push animation much in England, but maybe I can change their minds about that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe one day I could move somewhere else. But I don't. Everywhere I've been in Europe has at least one reason why I wouldn't want to live there, even though they're nicer looking generally than England.
If you could live anywhere in the entire world, or like anywhere in the entire universe, where would you live?
Jupiter. Because it's all gas, isn't it? It's all gas. And me and gas have a very special understanding. So I can get on with the gas. There's no problems over there. There's just gas. There's no tables. There's no girlfriends. There's no deadlines. It's just gas. So maybe Jupiter.
So what's your least favorite question that you get asked?
Where do your ideas come from?
Oh, I asked that,
but
didn't I?
Just, you know, written as in said like that. They're not asking me a process of how I formulate an idea. It's just, where do they come from? As if I'm going to say, oh yeah, I just steal them all. Or they want me to say drugs. I think they want me to say drugs. And the ideas do not come from drugs.
I don't understand why every time somebody makes something out of the ordinary, they always want to blame it on drugs.
Yeah, because, I don't know, I've never done, like, any psychedelic substances, but maybe that's what it's like. But I, you know, I've got kind of anxiety and sometimes weird other phenomena go on. And I describe that to people, and people say it sounds like you're on drugs, and I'm not. So maybe I'm always how other people are when they're on drugs.
Maybe somebody slips you stuff and you don't know about it.
Yeah, well, they must be following me, because, you know, it's still happening. Like, the other morning, I woke up in the toilet. I didn't know where I was. I hadn't done anything, drunk anything, taken anything. I had absolutely no idea where I was. In my head, I was still dreaming while I got into the toilet. And I think I was in a hotel with my friends in my dream, and I just went to the toilet, and all of a sudden I'm in this toilet with nothing on, and I kind of went, looked out the door, and I didn't recognise the place, and it was all dark, and it was very strange. And then I worked out that I was in a hostel, and I'd just been sleeping, but it took me a while to get there, and it was terrifying, really. But that was the sort of thing people usually do when they've taken drugs or drunk a lot, but I hadn't.
Oh, it's like recent. Does this happen a lot?
No, it's the first time I think I've ever sleepwalked or sleepwalked and then woken up. But I must have sleepwalked to the toilet. And it wasn't like, it wasn't too close. It was around the corner. And I had a bottle of water with me as well. So I must have sleep picked the bottle of water up from my sleep.
Aren't you staying in people's houses, though?
A few. Mainly I'm staying in hostels.
Oh, okay. So you
didn't, shared rooms, so there'd be like...
So you didn't, like, wake up in somebody else's bathroom?
No, it was our bathroom. It was a bathroom for me and whoever else was in my room. But I'd forgotten. In my head, that was like days ago that I was in that hostel. And so many things had happened since because I dreamt them, I guess.
So is there anything else that you really want to say to our listeners?
No. I don't need to tell any messages to the listeners. I think that whatever they think is a good thing to think, then they should think it themselves. And I don't want to influence that too much.
Well, thank you for your time. I enjoyed.
Hey, thanks for the interview. It was a fun one.
It was?